First Corinthians, fourth chapter, the first verse. Appreciate our visitors coming in. We welcome everyone that will come and be with us for Christ's sake. It's just so wonderful to be a Christian. How many of you agree that it's just so wonderful to be a Christian? I wonder if you really mean that from your heart. To me, it is so wonderful to be a Christian. Sometimes, you know, as I travel around different places, doesn't matter whether I'm down in South America or whether I'm on my face over in the morning hours, I just have to stop sometimes. And I think, Lord, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. A real, genuine Christian. And I have eternal life. I don't ever have to die. I don't ever have to suffer loss of any of my labors. Everything I've ever done in the earth is going to be transferred over to the heavenly city. All of my treasures are laid up in heaven. All of my labors are for Jesus. And I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And it just thrills me. It thrills me. All right, it makes me so ashamed that I haven't done so much more for God. The first verse, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou didst not receive it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. But ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are as the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. As I teach everywhere in every church, now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod? Or in love and in the spirit of meekness. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. That one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such a one, know not to eat. But what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life. If then ye have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. All right. If you'll notice, Paul, in preaching here, he sounds a little bit like I do when I'm preaching. He sounds like other holiness preachers when they're preaching. A lot of preachers preach, but they never say anything to the people. They talk about prosperity, just like the world talks about prosperity. They talk about hell. Just like the world talks about health. They talk about happiness, just like the world talks about happiness. They talk about all of the things that are good in their terminology of good. They talk about that. And I don't see anything wrong with that. That's wonderful. Because certainly God is good. And certainly God has given himself that we might have the very best. That's one thing that we know, that it is God's will for us to prosper and be in health above all things. But many preachers never make any mention whatsoever of the judgments of God or of the things that are going to befall mankind in this present world if they neglect to perfect faith in their lives by living an overcoming life, being separated from the worldly things and being separated from sin. Paul here, as he writes to them, he tells them that he understands that some of them are puffed up. And then he says, "Would you that I come to you with a rod?" Apparently he believed in using the rod on the child, lest he spoil the child. He said, "Or had you rather that I come to you in love and in the spirit of meekness?" Now, when you differentiate between those things, there's no mistake as to what Paul is saying, is there? Had you rather that I'd come to you with a rod? Or had you rather I come and preach you a message of love in the spirit of meekness? Apparently, Paul wasn't always meek in preaching the gospel, as you and many others suppose that the minister should always be. A lot of times Paul was very bold in preaching the gospel and would turn to men like he did the deputy and others and speak the words of judgment, and they would utterly be cut off because Paul spoke the words of judgment. He tells them here, he says that you've got fornicators among you. And the reason is because you're puffed up. Now, look at the church world of today. How many people do they have, even ministers, that are fornicators in the church world? But Paul tells us that they are not to be among us like that. That's wrong to have those people there. Why is it that those people are among you, Paul said? Because you're puffed up. He said you've received a lot of things and you're rich. Isn't that the charge that God puts against the church in the latter times? Ye are Laodicean, you're puffed up, you're rich, saying that you have need of nothing. And so then Paul tells them that you are rich. And I'm glad that you're rich, he said. He said, and you have fame and you have popularity in the world and prestige. He said, I'm glad that you reign as kings. I'd like to reign with you. But he said, we're despised and we're rejected. And so it is with the true ministry. They say things continually against the minister, though they've never seen him, though they've never known him, but they constantly find fault with him and say things against him. Paul said that God has ordained that it be that way, to show forth the life of Christ. But he said, I would like to reign with you just as you reign. But he knew that his life was a life of fasting and prayer and seeking God and doing something for mankind. He knew that. So he didn't confuse it with the prosperities of life. Whereas he taught that the children of God should have prosperity. He taught that. But he also said here that you are puffed up, and being puffed up, you have let all kind of infiltration into the church. Whereas if you had a prayed, Paul said, and if you had a talked to God as you ought to talk with him, and if you'd been as devoted to Christ as you should have been, he said these things would not be among you. That God would have worked in such a great way that these things would have been taken away from you. And it is a true fact that we've just had house cleaning a few days back. Praying and seeking God and trying to do what's right. A lot of them got up and left. That's the way it's supposed to be. The Bible teaches that God will add unto the church daily such as should be saved. God doesn't want everything to be in the church. It isn't God's will for everything to be in the church like that. God wants us to be holy, be just, and be pure. And God wants to add to the church daily such as should be saved. That's what's supposed to be added to the church. God doesn't want to add everything to the church. The Bible tells us in the early church that 3,000 people were saved at one time and added to the church. 3,000 people added to the church of the living God. All that should be saved. And the Bible said that God magnified the church. The rest of them were afraid, and they did not add themselves to the church because God set up a little standard. When Ananias and Sapphira came creeping in, they thought, well, I'll be part of the church too. And when they came easing in, God just set up a little standard to bring the fear of God and let the man Peter speak, and they dropped dead. And the Bible said nobody else wanted to join the church. So then we see that God doesn't want everybody in the church. God doesn't want everybody joining the church. We take church membership and we just say the doors is open. Everybody that would like to join the church, come and join the church. That's not God. That's not God's plan. God doesn't want everybody to come and join the church. The church doors should be open after this fashion and say, everybody that loves Jesus, everybody that wants to be born again, everybody that has been saved, come and join the church. You understand what I'm saying? So then, say, when you open the doors of the church, God is going to add to the church daily such as should be saved. But those that are fornicators, those that are idolaters, those that are extortioners, those that have all of the evils of life, of the passions of the body, God doesn't want them in the church. The church is a holy thing without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Can you picture God rapturing a church that's full of fornicators, full of idolaters, full of people that's doing evil? How then can the church be without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish or any such thing? We have to be clean in the sight of God. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? All right, now, when we think of these things, Paul said, let us so account of ourselves and let men account of us in this way that we are stewards of the mysteries of Christ. I am a steward of the mystery of godliness. I'm trying to carry on godliness. I'm not here to try to preach a sermon or to build some great city or to do something that might fascinate you and make me look good in your sight. I'm not concerned about things like that. I'm here to preach holiness and to establish the kingdom of God in the earth. That's the only purpose that I have in this world, is to establish holiness and cleanliness and virtues in the earth. Satan is on the rampage and he's trying his best to steal, to destroy, to take away everything that God has put in the earth that can be virtuous. Because with the virtue being gone, then we have problems. The Spirit of God can't move in the world. So then he says, let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If I am a steward of the mysteries of God, then I must be found faithful in the sight of God. If I am a steward of the mysteries, of the mysterious things of God, I must be faithful. I cannot just get up here and say that I'm a preacher. I must have a loyalty about me. I must have a godliness about me. I must have a faithfulness about me, that I can be faithful to mankind and faithful to God. Now, I am a steward. What kind of steward am I? I am a steward of the mysteries of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, every preacher can preach the mysteries of God. No, every preacher can't preach the mysteries of God. Only the God-sent preachers can preach the mysteries of God. So then, we are stewards of the mysteries of God, and we must be faithful and loyal to the cause of Jesus. And if we are not faithful to the cause of Jesus, then we are not a steward of the mysteries of Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't make any difference, Paul tells us, if men judge us. What difference does it make to me if a man judge me? As long as I know that I am a child of God. It doesn't make any difference to me. As long as I know that I am a child of God, I'm not worried about it. If I did not know that I was a child of God, then I would be greatly disturbed. But I know that I am a Christian, and I know that I'm trying to do my very best to please Him that has called me to this work. And I'm trying to do whatever I can to please God and to help the audience and to help people along the way of life. I'm doing that without any personal ambition or desire. So then I am happy in these things. Paul said, though we be made a spectacle unto the world, set forth as those that are appointed unto death, yet he said, God did this. And while you are wise, he tells us, then we are weak. And he tells us that everything, so far as the world is concerned, when they look at us, we're just exactly the opposite of what you are. Because though we be wise in God, yet they consider us a fool. Though we be strong in God, they consider us weak because we don't accomplish the things that pleases them in the world and get in with their programs. So then whatever you are, being the church, you fit in their programs in the sense that God has blessed you. And he's blessed you with the tangible side of life, tangible matter. All right, he tells us here that we should not be puffed up, because when we are puffed up, then all kind of people can creep in. But just as long as I live holy, live righteous, then the evil, wicked people of this world cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. You follow me? Cannot see it in the congregation of the righteous. They will not be able to stay in the presence of God as long as we hold a strict line, as long as we preach the word of God. Then the Bible tells us that God sent his word and cast out the unclean spirits. It takes God's word to cast out the unclean spirits. If I speak God's word, and if I'm a holy man, if I'm a righteous man, if I've got faith, then God's spirits are going to leave. They're not going to be able to stay around because it's going to root them out. It's going to cut them up. And they're going to rise up. The repercussion is going to come back. I can feel it coming back. But there is not one evil power of carnality that can stand against the word of the living God. So then, the flaming cherub is set there to keep the garden of life. He tells us that we are not to be fleshly. We are not to have people among us that are fornicators. He tells us here in the word of God, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? I want you to think on that for just a minute. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? I want to ask you to try to differentiate just a little bit between what is right and what is not right. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What is unrighteousness? The Bible said all unrighteousness is sin. What is unrighteousness? Is it unrighteous for me or you or somebody here or abroad to go out and deck out in a bathing suit? Is that unrighteous? Is that becoming to holiness? Is it? I'd like to just enumerate a few things and have you stop and think for just a few minutes. We make allowance for this, and we make allowance for that, and we make allowance for everything that we want to do that's convenient for the flesh, and try to mix darkness with light. Is it right for you to do that and expose your body? Is that right? If that is right, pray tell me, why did God make Adam and Eve put on clothes? What was the use of putting clothes on Adam and Eve? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, a bathing suit is clothes. I think you're having strong delusions. Now then, is that right? Why then does the Bible tell the women to dress as becometh holiness? Do you believe that that becomes holiness? Down in your heart, I want you to stop and think now. Do you believe that that becomes holiness? To see a man and a woman walk up in a bathing suit. Do you think that portrays Jesus? Do you think that's like Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus would do it? Now be honest with me. The Bible said, following his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found his mouth. Be therefore perfect as I am perfect. Be holy, for I am holy. Do you believe that Jesus would have put on a bathing suit? Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, if he had had the occasion, if he's going swimming or whatever, he was around the Sea of Galilee, he was around the lakes, he was around the water, on the water, all the time. Off and on, all the time. Never one place do we see him or read about him doing any such thing. Why is that? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, don't you know you'll just dwarf life and just take away all the joy and jubilance if we can't go around half nude? Especially near the water. If you have to do that, why not go home and get in the bathtub? If that's the only jubilance you have, God gives you the benefit of that. But otherwise, we should in public look like a lady, look like a man, ought to look before God. What then is unrighteousness? Is it right for the schools, whether it be a ministerial school, or whether it be a worldly school, is it right for them to run track, dress out in shorts and all of these things? Is that proper in the sight of God? The Bible said Moses was a proper child. Is that right in the sight of God? Is that proper in the sight of the Lord? Listen, it doesn't even become the world to do that, let alone people that name Christianity. The Bible teaches that I will set no evil things before my eyes. It's wrong for you or me or anybody else unless God has directed us to reach somebody. It is wrong for you and I to even go near the beaches and different things where people are in such a condition. Did you know that? Because that is an evil thing. And the Bible tells us that we're not to set it before our eyes. It's wrong to have any kind of literature coming to your home. Whether it may appear minor in your sight or may appear that you are a fanatic because of your attitude or whatever it is that the world may think about you. It is wrong to have booklets and magazines as some of you have. You say, how do you know that? Because I throwed some in the garbage the other day. If your magazine comes up missing, you just remember Brother Pike happened to get near the mail the other day. If it comes up missing, you just have to come over and have a talk with me because it went into the garbage can. You might be paying for it, but it went in the garbage can. You'll go back and check the rules. The rules was that the postmaster was to get rid of everything that's wrong. Moses was faithful in all of his house. You're not to have pictures on your walls. You're not to have things in your news. You're not to have any evil thing before your eyes, God told Israel. Everything is to be holy, for I am holy. If you infiltrate the move of God with all these kind of things, I will withdraw. In the day when Israel was traveling through the wilderness, they caused God to be disturbed at them. A great cloud that followed them, that protected them. The Bible said when God became angry, he just moved way off out in the distance, away from the tabernacle, to let them know that he would not fellowship iniquity. So then, we must be a holy people, righteous, holy, and upright before God all the time. Let every thought be holy. Let every reflect be holy. Be holy, he said. Add holiness and godliness to your experience. I say, but Brother Pike, what are we going to do about the teeming multitudes that are out there in the world that are religious? What are we going to do about them? I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to leave them where they are. If they're satisfied, that's their business. God has told me to come out from among them. That's what I'm planning to do. Let them do what they want to do. If they want to follow Christ and they see Christ in my life and in your life, they will follow it. If they do not want to follow Christ, it doesn't matter how much they see Christ, they're not going to follow it. Let them do what they want to. You turn on the TV, when you turn it on, you hear somebody talking about my Father, singing about I love my Father, I love my Jesus. And you look, and they're smeared up with paint and powder like a Jezebel all over their mouth, all over their eyes, everything that's contrary to Jesus. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, those very precious people love God. Those people do not love God. Don't be foolish. The Bible said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. They don't love Christ. They know that religion is getting to be a big thing. That the end of the world is here. And like Saul of old, they're trying to commercialize off of it. And they're trying to find their place to be hid from the wrath of God. The Bible said they'll go so far they'll throw their money to the bats. All right. We said at the end time, as the things begin to draw to a close, it will go out with a great musical get together of all the singers. And they'll be singing and people everywhere will want to come in and be part of the kingdom of God. They will take hold of your hand and say, I have heard that God is with you. And I want to go with you. Isn't that right? But folks, the Bible teaches that if a man be a fornicator, an extortioner, any of these evil, wicked things that we're not so much as to even eat with them. Among those that are out yonder in the world, God realizes that we have to be among them in our daily activities. But he said, if one be called a brother, if one be a church member, one that's in there with you, purge out the old leaven and be a new lump. Get rid of the cancer or the whole body will rot and deteriorate. Get rid of the deficiency of the body if it's some member of the body. Get rid of it. Purge the tree and cut off the rotten limb. Lest it take the life and the whole tree die because the one limb has robbed the tree. If the tree will not bear fruit, then the Bible said, why cumbereth it the ground? Cut it down, Jesus said. If it isn't going to do any good for God, why should I keep the tree? Why should I work the tree? Why should I dress the tree? It's only bothering the vineyard of Christ. So then we ought to get rid of it. He tells us here, and I call your attention to it again. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Now listen, Christ tells us in the word, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We are clean. We are clean. God has cleansed us. But we are not to be partakers of the evils of this world. We are to come out from among them and be a separate people. We can't have fellowship with them. All of this great move is for one purpose. That is money, fame, popularity. God has to allow that thing to be that way because God's plan is an evolving process. God is very kind. Look at the early days of man's pilgrimage. All he had was a little candlelight. Before that, he didn't even have a candle. He just rubbed a few rocks together, started a little fire. That's all that he had. But then the candlelight. And then from that, there was a little more light. And then a little more light. And as the years passed on by, the light got brighter and brighter and brighter till we've come to a great day of brightness. Whereas the Bible said the light shall be sevenfold in the end time, showing, typically speaking, the growth of the revelation or understanding of Christ or the enlargement of the gospel to mankind, showing the enlightening of his understanding towards spiritual and heavenly things. This has grown very gradual. God, very concerned and willing, not any should perish, but all should come to repentance and have everlasting life, and knowing that we were babes and couldn't understand, he tells us in the word that as babes we should desire the sincere milk of the word, whereas he gave us the milk of the word. Brethren, through the evolving process of God and as time has gone on, God has gradually washed away the mud. God has gradually taken away the filth. And God has perfected the church gradually, even though once and for all he did it by the offering up of the body of Jesus, yet we had to receive it by faith, our faith being perfected, to the extent that we be perfect in him and realize that we are perfect in the Lord. Our faith developing, God working with us as the light comes gradually to keep from destroying us. Now, that means that if that is true, then it was a wicked age. And then it gradually transformated over as a religious age. And many of the people that are caught in this religious turnover, it's just a change. A lot of godly people in there. But see, the world is making its change. What is it? Look at the wicked. They've had television. They've had the radios. They've had all of the facilities of the world. But God is changing it, see? He's changing it. Just like I've said so many times, you take the glass, you blow the glass up, you puff the glass up the old-fashioned way, you know. You use air. But when you get it blown up, you can take the vessel, the air is gone. You just pour in the wine or whatever pleases your taste. God has done the same thing. God has sent educators. God has sent colleges. God has sent hospitals. God has made a way that humanity might survive without faith in God by giving grace until man could plow the field, till the beast could plow the field, till everything was set up, till the facilities was just right. Now you would say, Brother Pike, God doesn't work like that. God doesn't take them and let them do something out there and then bring us along to take it over. The Bible says that God gives to the wicked travail, that they may heap together treasures that the righteous may enjoy them. Is that right? So then it is God's way to do that. You say, well, what do they get out of it? They fill their belly with the husk. They are the beast that plow the fields, just as any other beast would do. They are the beast that labor under the strict powers and ingenuity and understanding of God. And God feeds them the husk. They get fed of their labor. They feed from the fields of their labor. But brethren, we see it transformating. Gradually, the saints are rising and taking the world. They're taking over television. They're taking over the medical centers. They're taking over the government. They're taking over the news facilities. They're taking over everything. Christ is doing it. During this period of time, the Bible speaks of a time when it's neither darkness nor light. And through the transformation, light and darkness seems to be intermingling. But it's not so. At the evening time it shall come to pass, there shall be light. But at the evening time also, the Bible said, gross darkness shall cover the people. So then all that it is one passing another. At that time, they all look mixed up and intermingled together. But gradually, one is going to decrease and the other is going to increase. Right now, they're at a point to where they all intermingle together and they seem to be one. And God is making allowance because he doesn't want anything to happen to his child. Take the child. Go down into Egypt, for Pharaoh will seek his life. I will preserve him among the evil people, among the people of Egypt. So then what is the Egypt of today for? Just a place for preservation, to keep us from the evil powers that we might eat, drink, that he might keep us alive till we make that change. But brethren, we're on the verge now, passing the halfway mark. On the verge of passing the halfway mark. So then that means Christianity. That means godliness. Righteousness is going to begin to outshine everything. All others are going to be placed into the background. We're just about past the point now. You understand what I'm saying? Passing over. You're going to see Jesus come up and God's people come up. Righteousness exalted. And you're going to see Antichrist step out to try his best to stop it. But only for two or three short years, and God will wipe him off of the scene. Then the great government of God and the millennium of God will be established. And the people of God will come to the forefront. And what a day that shall be. The song said, when my Savior I shall see, when I look upon his face, he that saved me by his grace, when I take him by the hand and he leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. You love Jesus? I want you to stand with me. Remember, God is doing something. And it's up to you and I to work with him. We must work with God. If we're expecting God to work with us, then we must work with God. I want to work with God. And I'm sure that you want to work with God. I feel that many of you love Jesus. And that you want to work with God. That you want to honor, reverence His house, reverence His sanctuary, reverence His ministry, reverence His people. Like the song said, when the saints go marching in, you want to be part of them. We're not here to abuse anyone. We're not here to try to belittle anyone. We're not here to unchristianize anyone or to lambaste the beast of this world. But we are here in defense of the truth, Paul tells us. We are here defending the gospel. And we are here trying to establish the truth and an understanding and a godly way whereby man will not be confused, that he might know the will of God, and through this eradicate sickness from the earth, and heartaches from the earth, troubles from the earth, to where he can be happy and really enjoy life throughout eternity, to where his little ones will be saved from now on. Trying to tell the truth in the midst of a frustration, midst of a frustrated government, a frustrated people, where everyone believes that they have the answer. It's like the song we wrote, Jesus the chief cornerstone, everyone believing that he is the head. But if they'll just give Jesus his place, everything will be all right. How can you give Jesus his place? By letting this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. This mind right here. The Bible. The Word of God. The understanding. The way of the Lord. They will say in that day, all nations, that we have forgotten our God. Let us go up to the city of God and the Mount of God. Let us go up to the temple of God and let Him teach us of His ways. What a great world that will be. And that is going to be. I'm going to say this in closing. I spoke the other night of the Antichrist being close at hand. And I spoke of how the cars took a change from the American design over to the European design. That had to do with the mark of the beast coming in. When you see it spiritually, you understand those things. And that cars or automobiles, the average automobile, represents a human life. I preached one night of the Antichrist coming into effect. The very next day, Brother Arthur brought to me a little paper to where they are putting a new cost on the average automobile, $666. That may not mean anything to some of you. But the average car will have that amount placed upon it. Now, I made the statement that the peace pact with Israel would not stand. That it was something that was going to lead toward the bondage of Israel. And that it was going to bring in the powers of Antichrist. And that they're going to reject it when they see the papacy of Rome come to the Holy Mount to seemingly usher in the millennium. Last night, somebody brought me a clipping. One of the great leaders of Israel made the statement, said, we do not believe that the peace pact is the right thing for Israel, and the way that we see it, it is going to do nothing but bring in a great bondage to Israel and make slaves out of Israel, and we will not have it, and we will fight it as long as we possibly can. All right, that again agrees with what we said, that it would not stand. It will not stand. They shall speak lies at the table, but it will not stand. So you see, things isn't at all the way that they appear to be. So we need to beware, brethren. We need to watch. We need to pray. Antichrist is going to back off and get so disturbed or perturbed with Israel that he is going, having a billion people under his control, he is going to organize the entire forces of the earth and take all of the nations to come against Israel. And perhaps no other nation in the world would take this kind of courage. But Israel will take the courage to fight every living creature on the earth, every nation, all by themselves. And because of their courage and people touching Israel, Israel being the apple of God's eye, all of a sudden, God will send the great angel, the great prince, and Christ shall stand for his people and defeat the entire world as the blood runs up to the horse's bridle. And we're close to that. We're getting close to it. Let's sing this little chorus together, and then we'll let you go. Don't forget the services tonight. Invite somebody out. We are stewards of the mysteries of God, and from time to time we try to explain a little bit here and there to give an understanding to people and indoctrinate people with the ways and mind of God that they might prepare themselves for the oncoming slaughter, that they might be ready to meet the Lord Jesus as he's coming. We try so hard to do this. Try to stay in touch with God so that we can do it. So let's come to church tonight. Bring somebody. The Bible said go out and compel them to come in, that the house of God may be filled. The Lord will heal your sick, and God will bless you, and God will strengthen you, and God will raise you up, and God will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, and God will indoctrinate you with the loving truth that he wants you indoctrinated with. You say, how will he do it? If you believe. If you believe. How many of you know that God has never, not at any time, bypassed not one individual that ever believed? Did you know that? How do you believe that's the truth? Not one time, anywhere, at any time, has he ever bypassed anybody that ever believed. So then, if thou canst believe, let's pray and let's believe. God has been good to me. Has he been good to you? Don't get into a prison or you'll have to serve a sentence. You won't come out till you have paid the uttermost following. And then the Lord will open the doors of your prison. But until then, you won't get out. Let's sing a little chorus together. Lay that way upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk but never faint. Teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Can we sing one more time together? Lay that weight upon the Lord shall remove their strength. They shall mount up.